Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas, Coley Mick, and Steve Perrault.
What's up, and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 276, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your third place Boston Red Sox. My name is Jared Carabas, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Coley Mick, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that. Bada boom. Realest guys in the room. Steve, how you doing?
What up, Section 10 in the building?
In the motherfucking building with literally nothing.
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 Nobody.
Nothing.
Not a single piece.
Nothing.
No one.
It is incredible.
Andrew Cashner.
Unbelievable.
Colton Brewer.
The Red Sox did nothing.
Josh Taylor.
At the trade deadline. Nothing. It was some kind of sick joke. Last year, they were saying on Nesson, they were like, yeah, for the back-to-back years. Remember last year, they didn't do anything in the trade deadline. They had a fucking super team last year.
Last year, at the deadline, they were 100-0.
They needed nothing at the deadline last year.
It was embarrassing how many pieces they had last
year. Rob Manfred probably banned them from making a move at the deadline last year. They're like, all right, guys, we get it. You're good, all right?
You're going to win the World Series, enough.
Do you think that's why Dombrowski didn't even pick up his phone yesterday? Because he didn't realize the ban had been lifted?
They're paying a World Series tax?
Maybe.
They're paying a dominance fee?
Or he's just like, yeah, no.
With
Detroit, I was able to make trades here. Mm-hmm. I forgot they said I can't.
The dominance fee does make sense.
It kind of does.
You've won three straight divisions. You won the World Series. The Yankees.
We talked about that, too, about how like last year went so well that it's like, yeah. Do you almost like take this year as a punishment for last year being so great? Yeah, sure. Take it.
It's an embarrassment to this offense that they have no closer and no bullpen.
You're no closer.
It's an embarrassment.
That's a little me and Bryn joke.
I was going to say that, but where was that from?
We were in Chicago for the White Sox game, and there was this fucking lady that for an entire inning was just screaming at Colton Brewer trying to like shut out the game. She said, you're no closer. You're no closer.
I mean,
and then she was screaming it from like 20 rows back. And then she finally like went up to like the screen, like they let her go, like sit in the front row. She's like, "You're no closer." And everyone that thought she was so annoying in the beginning, White Sox fans started chanting, "You're no closer." They just kept going. They're like, "All right, we might as well embrace it because she's not going to shut the fuck up."
She wasn't wrong.
She was onto something because he's not a closer.
He's not a closer. He actually he blew the first game of the Rays series.
Hell yeah,
brother.
It's it's tough when you have a season where there's a very, to me, obvious hole in the Red Sox equation.
For months.
9 months?
Nine.
The Red Sox haven't had a closer, and they need one, but they've needed one for the last 9 months. Now, that's enough time to have a child. Mm-hmm. Red Sox couldn't even have a closer in that amount of time, which to me is a confusing process because you can make the case that it's even more than 9 months. My 9 month estimation is from when the World Series ended up until the trade deadline. The Red Sox had 9 months to find somebody, anybody who could close out a baseball game. They've been unable to do that, but you could also make the case that it's longer than 9 months because if the reason why Craig Kimbrell's not here right now is because of salary demands, and that doesn't factor into the 2019 payroll, then they've known since fucking opening day last year. Maybe even longer than that. Maybe they've known for years that they would need a closer to start the 2019 season, and they don't have one. And after the trade deadline has come and gone, they still don't have one. I am very confused.
Jared, here's an indisputable fact.
Yeah.
When they acquired Craig Kimbrell,
yes,
they knew they were going to need another closer after that.
100%.
They knew he would not be the last closer in Red Sox history.
That's 100% fact, Cole.
So this is just neglect.
It's honestly, it's There's a word for it.
Confusing?
No.
Mm.
Befuddling?
Befuddling.
Perplexing.
Perplexing.
Mm-hmm.
You seem bewildered more than anything.
I think I'm definitely on the more bewildered side of things on this because, you know, it's not like they had a closer and then he just fucking got kidnapped by aliens.
No, that didn't happen.
That no chance. No chance.
That would be
would have been a story
front page.
Yeah.
Like they'd we lead, would have known about the that. News
we also
with that.
Definitely would have talked about it on here.
That would have gone. Yeah, I guarantee you, they're talking about that on other shows too. Because that goes beyond just a baseball story at that 100%,
point. 100%.
Yeah, that's a humanity story.
That is a society story.
Mm-hmm. No,
Time magazine puts that on the cover.
I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Hmm.
Not like the year-end cover.
Do you think Time Magazine would make Aliens the Time Person of the Year?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of confusing. An alien is a person of the year?
Well, that's a good point.
Try to win them over?
Yeah, I'd be like, you're people too.
It's like, listen, you're on Time Magazine.
Yeah, we breathe the same air here on Earth.
Aliens are like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Do you think they... this is one thing I feel like it's underreported.
What?
Do you think aliens, when like we go to other planets and the moon,
do they call us aliens?
No. We wear like spacesuits. Yeah. Do they wear Earth suits? Because they can't breathe our air.
Ah, I don't know.
They're like, we only breathe sulfur. We're like, we don't have a lot of that.
In Mars Attacks, they chew gum so they can breathe oxygen.
Right, but they do have the helmets.
Yep,
they're the only people really reporting the facts.
That's true.
A lot of confusion, kind of like when you're trying to find tickets online to a sports or a concert, but the solution is SeatGeek. SeatGeek is now the presenting sponsor of the Section 10 podcast for the 2019 season. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for the sports and for the music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you save time and money, bitch. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You will immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all listeners get an instant $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase to get your $10 off tickets. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. Enter promo code section 10. That's section 10. SeatGeek will immediately take 10 American dollars off your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code section 10 today. Big coupon, bitch.
How? What was the surprise level for you guys?
Zero.
You weren't surprised at all that they did nothing?
When we, like you said earlier that last year's team needed nothing at the deadline. That's not true. The whole story up until game two really even the past that.
The bullpen still wasn't good.
The bullpen was like trash
wasn't this bad.
Like Joe Kelly wasn't even supposed to be on the roster, but they just needed him because hopefully he would turn it on, which he did, thankfully.
Yeah, he did.
I feel like people have just blocked that out of their minds. That Kelly really wasn't that great last year.
No, but I mean, that's been his whole career. He's hot and cold, and we just happened, it just aligned. It's like Jackie with his bat.
Well, same with Eovaldi. And then in October, he was great.
Right. So, I mean, last year, we got Eovaldi, which I don't think anyone was like, this guy's going to go down Red Sox lore.
Yeah.
Nate Eovaldi.
I mean, I think that there's maybe not to that extent, but people get excited when it's like, oh, this guy throws 100 more miles
for sure.
An hour, and then...
He throws hairy gas.
But so does Pat Light, and he sucks.
He can't fight either.
No, he can't.
I bet Pat, for these shows, I bet he's at home listening like, maybe I don't get mentioned this episode.
No.
Maybe they don't say 23.63.
We're talking about trash pitching. Pat Light comes up. That's just how it goes. But Dombrowski, the bigger point, like when we got him, when he came to the Red Sox, it was like, what is this guy known for? He's known for depleting farm systems and doesn't even know what a bullpen is. This guy's saying true to form. How can we be mad about that? He probably almost signed Pat Light.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
When he was in the Sox, he was really bad. He was Pat Light.
Yeah,
Pat
Light.
Two arms, huh?
I mean, think about it.
Pretty good.
Pat Light.
Jim Abbott only had one.
Pat Light debuted under Dave Dombrowski's watch.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, he doesn't know shit about building a bullpen.
Yeah.
Dave should have known right then, I need to make a much better bullpen if this guy's in it. But no, I think what was the scale again? The surprise scale?
Yeah. How surprised were you?
8.5, 8.5.
So you were surprised.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's what I thought was going to happen. To the naive people that were like, I mean, he's obviously going to get a closer. Like, they have 18 blown saves. Their ERA is ranks 26th out of 30 major league teams in the ninth inning.
Hell yeah.
They need a fucking closer. So Dave Dombrowski is obviously going to get one. I thought they were going to trade for some absolute shit bum and be like, ta-da!
Yeah.
Here we are. Well,
especially after...
Joey Macadamia nuts. Well, he's a lefty, but he throws right-handed.
Also, Typically, in the second half of the season, he's shown a lower ERA. And so they were going with the trends with Macadamia.
He actually pitches softball style.
Yeah.
He's the son of Jenny Finch.
Maybe Pedroia could figure out, you should throw lefty.
You should work with him. Yeah, I'd be like, hey, I would try the left arm this time.
Zoom. Yeah, I don't know, Skip.
110?
I thought that that's for sure was going to happen.
Well, I think my
trade
biggest,
for an underwhelming.
What's
reliever.
Funny is that's exactly what Cashman did.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
I was.
If would you? What would you be more excited or like happier today if we had gotten what was it? Jose Alfredo. What was
yeah,
his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jose Alfredo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have been happier to be the Yankees because it would have been funnier content.
Once the report was out there that they weren't pursuing like Diaz and Shane Green and these guys, but they're pursuing lesser name relievers. I'm like, why even just forfeit?
What's the point? Dude, you already have a bunch of lesser name relievers.
We have a ton of lesser name
We've
relievers.
Got the market cornered. Listen, I've said it for years. I can't thrash on Dombrowski. There will be no thrashing here.
No.
I always say strengthen your strengths.
Yeah.
Getting another shitty reliever is strengthening our strength.
Correct.
We don't do anything better than stinking.
Yeah. That's why the funniest part of his press conference was like, you wouldn't believe how many calls we got on our relievers.
I didn't know Dombrowski was a comedian.
That was very funny.
Yeah. He's like, these reporters are all kind of upset. The fans are upset. I got a line for you.
Maybe.
Listen up. You're not going to believe this, but I know our bullpen sucks and everything, but you won't even believe how many teams are calling up being like, hey, let me get some of those awesome relievers you got. I know you got them.
I think it wasn't a joke. I think Dombrowski, because he also mentioned if they were in first, it would have or closer to first, it would have changed how he approached it, which is a crazy thing to say.
A nice little zing there by Davey.
Yeah, that was crazy to say.
They were in first last year and he did nothing.
Big time nothing.
Nothing.
But like, I think maybe he was being like, he was trying to sell, but he wasn't being active about it. And he was like, guys, I got no calls. I can't fucking believe it.
Yeah.
Like, I was waiting to get rid of these guys, but no one called. Do you believe this? We're all like, yes.
No, we 100% believe that.
Yeah. They stink.
The people that were like, fire Dave Dombrowski. Like, here's the thing. I like Dave Dombrowski. I really do. I think.
Nice guy, too.
Nice guy. Very smart. Sometimes.
Most of the game, he understands.
Yeah.
Bullpen, he's like,
wait. Do we think he just leaves the games early to get home and beat the traffic, and then he doesn't even see that the bullpen's bad?
He tries to like leave around like the sixth.
Yeah,
things are going swell.
Our rotation decent. We have a lead.
Yeah,
offense is cooking.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't even know.
Well, here's the other thing too. We've been talking about the bullpen the
entire time.
Maybe
he thinks the bullpen is great because he's like, I'm getting a lot of calls too on these bullpen.
Yeah. People, are you fucking kidding me with this bullpen? I know, they're great, right?
I know, click.
Yeah. You can't have any. Dave Dombrowski, this fucking bullpen of yours. I know. They're awesome, man.
Nope. Nice try.
Nope.
Nice try, pal. Click.
Seen this one before.
Dombrowski, you seeing this fucking bullpen out there?
Boom.
No, pal.
Click.
You're not getting any of my guys.
Click alert.
Can't have them.
Ugh.
No chance.
He just broke his phone in like April. He's like, I'm not even risking it.
Yeah.
The biggest win, we did allude to it. The biggest win is that the Yankees also moronically did nothing.
Did nothing.
Well, they got Jose Alfredo.
Mm. Yeah.
But outside of that, they didn't do anything. So it's like, because we at the end of the day, if we're worst case scenario, I Willie alluded to it. Mm. If at the end of this season the Red Sox don't do anything, but the Yankees make it out of the first round and get walloped by the Astros. We're going to have a fine offseason.
Yeah. I don't like just handing it to the Astros. I understand they look like the favorite right now.
I'm handing it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point yesterday where you were like, the Dodgers are unbeatable.
Well, then the Astros happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, they got one pitcher. So that means
they got fucking Aaron Sanchez, too.
I don't want to get dark.
Aaron Sanchez has a fucking ERA title.
He's
sucked. He's sucked recently. But you go into like the Astros Frankenstein chamber.
No,
he's gonna literally have like.
I think they're gonna fix him. I just don't know if it's gonna be like four this year.
How many more?
It's almost immediate. Look at Wade Miley.
No, I know, dude. They have some juice down. I don't know what.
Look
it
at
is.
Fucking Verlander when he got there. The second that he got, it's immediate.
Verlander's a little. Different.
They put a little probe in your butt when you get to Houston.
Verlander was like a Cy Young winner who went there from like a shitty, depressing Detroit to Houston and was like a little rejuvenated. And then the next year, it was like crazy that it carried over. And Miley was in spring training, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So he had like a full camp. Like I'm not doubting.
I don't think the Frankenstein chamber is in spring training though. I think he had to.
I'm not doubting that they're gonna like he's going to be better. And as Steve pointed out, you pointed out his numbers. Oh, no, it was Hubs yesterday. Sorry for confusing the two of you.
God.
But Hubs was pointing out, like, he has, like, a 5 ERA his last, like, 4 starts compared to, like, the 16 last month. Like, he's trending in the right direction for sure. And Houston will get a spin rate up to 40,000.
Jerry, did you have a source on the probe in the butt thing, or was that just a guess?
Yeah, we were down there in spring training. We saw their butts.
You saw it?
Yeah.
You just said it wasn't there.
No. We saw the probes.
Mm.
You didn't see it going in the butt.
I didn't see it going in the butt, but you can see it coming out of the butt.
Okay.
What kind of sound did it make? I'm just laughing at the look on Brent's face. What kind of sound did it make
coming out?
What kind of sound did it make?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those. I'm not going to just straight up give it to the Astros, but...
You don't have that power.
True.
You showed up. Just commissioner's trophy.
Yeah.
Here you go. It's August 5th.
I mean, they're by far and away the favorites now.
Definitely.
But I don't know. I mean, they were stacked last. They're still writing articles about the Astros from last year saying that, well, the Red Sox won the World Series, but you can make a case that the Houston Astros were the better team. It's like, they lost in 5 games.
Yeah, the Astros were not better last
simply
year.
Simply dusted.
Also, I mean, if Correa and Altuve are fully healthy, that probably goes like 7.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, it's a better series. It's not a 5-gamer. But the Astros are so good.
Their pitching just didn't show up last year. Their fans were cheating in the outfield with their uneven walls.
Also true.
They had a lot of problems.
You see Kate Upton's column this morning?
Yeah,
little.
Can't miss it.
Yeah,
it's front page of like every website.
Yeah, I mean it was something else. I mean,
she writes for all the websites. She doesn't write for just one.
She was writing a little ditty about spin rate, talking about Sanchez, talking about Greinke, how you know you're not supposed to sleep on Greinke. You know, just because you haven't been paying attention to him out in the desert doesn't mean that he's not going to come to Houston. And obviously, you have a rotation of Verlander and
Garrett Cole,
who are basically 1 and 2 in the Cy Young voting. If
Wade Miley's
today.
Third in that race. Yeah,
they replaced like Charlie Morton with Zach Greinke.
Imagine if Charlie Morton was still there.
Yeah, I feel
that's
like,
1, 2, 3. It's Verlander, Garrett Cole, Charlie Morton in terms of like what's the Cy Young voting right
Pete
now.
Pete was onto something with Wade Miley, man. He saw it before us.
He did.
He knew that he was going to have one of the best home ERAs in baseball, and that's what he has now.
And that's what he has now.
4 years later.
4 years later.
All right, Pete.
Part 2 of the Curt Schilling interview. The much anticipated, well received.
Yes.
Curt Schilling interview.
Shout out to his dogs, too. They made a lot of big appearances.
Always.
Jackson. I forgot the other names.
Jax, Ellie, and Puck.
Nice.
Puck's a fun name for a dog.
Puck.
There are obviously a lot of people out there. Well, not a lot, actually.
There's like 8 billion people out there.
No, I know.
That's a lot.
Steve.
And Curt Schilling.
Did you not?
this guy is crazy. I mean, there's...
Too many. How would I
yeah, like population control is a real issue.
Just coming in like, there's not a lot of people out there.
It's too quiet to you guys. Yeah.
You guys walking in, there weren't a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
Did you see what I was talking about on Twitter last night?
No.
I asked how many M&Ms do you... This is a question you'll like. How many M&Ms do you think are on Earth right now?
I'm not buying that reply that you got.
I am.
400 million are not made a day.
They definitely make 400 million a day. At the M&M factories?
That's a lot.
In Tennessee and New Jersey?
That's a lot.
It's a ton.
What sparked the question?
Hi.
The hi.
Eating M&Ms. Hi.
Hi.
No, I've been thinking about it legitimately for weeks. Every store you walk in, there's so many M&Ms.
So many M&Ms.
They've got M's like you read about.
Some M&Ms.
Did anyone say in the trillions?
Me and Kevin believe it's in the trillions. Someone did some sort of math saying that there's roughly like, what was it, like 25 billion or something like that.
Someone said 8. That's not true.
I got a lot of sevens. Yeah. A lot of people said 7.
7
which
billion?
No, just 7. Which is at least 7.
There's way more than 7.
Oh, there's definitely at least 7.
In a pack.
Yeah.
But
the M&M's
there's probably more
right
than 7 in like the little Halloween bags.
But then people were like, do you think there are more ants or M&Ms?
Ants?
Yeah.
There's definitely more ants.
Well, they were coming up with the number 10 trillion for ants. Like, no one's counted that.
No one's counted that, but I bet you it's true.
They have no idea. When was the last time you saw an ant?
I don't know. Yesterday?
No. Where?
Outside.
Ants aren't really in the city, right?
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's been a little bit.
So, we're one of the most populated cities in the world. Zero ants. Nice try.
Yeah.
There's actually an ant in this office I saw.
I think we've got an ant problem. Yeah, but I used to see ants all the time when I was a kid. Yeah. Daily.
Daily, every day.
It's Kurt Schilling.
Sons of Sam Horn made up my mind.
Yeah. On what? To come to come the Red here. Sox?
That was really? Kind of the fun. Yeah, because of the passion that those people were showing. But I had fun with this stuff. I realized when I went to Arizona in 2000, I remember a writer writing a story the day I got there about Matt Williams being an asshole because he doesn't talk to the media.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, the writer wrote an article about how I talk too much to the media. And I was really, it's an unwinnable fight, so don't fight it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I never had a problem calling people in the media out in front of everybody in the team.
That would have been a lot of fun because we would have given you the platform. To
right. Oh, yeah. No, I would have been traded in 2005.
Yeah. Feeling on an 04 pod.
Yep,
watch
yep,
it.
Yep. Yep. I would. Yeah. Because, again, I'm not afraid to say what I people always say, oh, I love you because you say what you think. Well, that doesn't make me right.
Yeah.
It just makes me me.
Yeah.
And what I think is my opinion, and I'm comfortable with that because I know I'm not malicious. I hate bullies. I don't like to make people feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm coming from a good place, even though there's things I wish I hadn't said.
Such as?
If the Phillies don't get grass in the stadium, Scott Rolen's going to leave as a free agent.
You said that?
Yeah.
Did he leave as a free agent?
No, but but they went from my locker to his, and like, oh my god,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit.
My bad.
Yep, my B. Sorry, Scotty.
There's some guys that are just absolutely unapproachable on game day. What were you like on game day? Unapproachable.
I didn't talk to anybody
besides your catcher.
My catcher and my second baseman.
Why the second?
My second baseman ran my defense. I ran my defense through my second baseman.
Got it.
So and my pitching coach. Because nothing anyone else could talk to me and say to me would have any impact on me getting an out that night.
Yeah.
And early in my career, I understood the difference between they were paying me to win. They weren't paying me to pitch. A lot of guys in the big leagues, I'm getting paid to pitch. Andy Bennis was a guy I thought, you know, he earned more money than any pitcher in the 90s. And he was like a 500. He was getting paid to pitch.
Yeah.
Like I realized, early, for me anyway, I'm getting paid to, every fifth day they want me to win the game.
Yeah.
So I just looked at that. As I got older, I realized – you got nothing to offer me tonight to help some get somebody out, so I don't need. I can talk to you tomorrow. It wasn't like a hard ass thing. It was more of a just a routine.
Speaking of being paid to pitch, you the second that you were traded to the Red Sox, you did was it a Ford commercial?
Yeah,
the Ford commercial where you were like you're in Arizona, you gotta throw your bag in the back of the truck. Yeah, I got to break an 86-year-old curse, which at the time, like you set yourself up. To be like
the face of that.
Yeah, the face of, the curse is actually real. And, you know, like if the ankle thing goes south and there's big time potential for that to not end up well, was that like, because you didn't have an agent.
I did.
So did they?
I did that so many times in my career.
Yeah, but not to this extent. Coming to
the night of game six in 2001. Kevin Kennedy interviewed me, and I said, if we win this game tonight, we will be the 2001 World Series champions.
But it's
I know.
Lot different.
I like that.
You were in the World Series.
Right, that didn't bother
this
me.
This was fucking spring training, like not even. So I'm more asking not so much like, you know, you having the balls to say that and back it up. I'm asking like, did Ford approach you? Did you go to them and say, I have this idea?
No, they brought – I would like when I first saw the commercial, I was like – wow, that's a
big declaration.
I was like, well, fuck it. That's the reason I went
there.
I mean, that's literally why I came to Boston instead of New York. I mean, the specific conversation with Shonda was, well, listen, I had Brian Cashman on the phone when the Red Sox were in my house.
Yeah.
And he said, if you hold out, I'll be there tomorrow, which was Saturday, and you can fill in the check. And I looked at Shonda and we were talking. I said, so here's what it boils down to. We can go to New York and win like 3 or 4 World Series maybe and have it be like the 29th, 30th, and 31st.
Yeah.
Or we can go to Boston and do something no one alive has ever seen.
Mm.
I was like, that's too fucking cool to pass up.
Yeah.
So that was really honestly what made – and then, like I said, when I saw the commercial, I was like –
I don't know.
But then it was like, well, fuck it. That's why I went there. I mean, I'm going there. They're not bringing – I mean, I had the $2 million World Series clause in my contract. If we win, I get a $2 million bonus.
That's what – like Maz – oh, here's your wife. Would you want to pick this up?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Hello. I'm right in the middle of the podcast and you're on, so don't.
You're on.
What are you doing? No, Jared's now some fucking celebrity. He was late doing his own thing. So.
Hi, Shonda.
No. No, she wants you to read the instructions on the back of the toilet before.
Oh, yeah. No.
He had toilet trouble last time.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah,
cut it one thing. I'll call you when we're done. All right, hon. She said, oh, all right. I love you. Bye.
I wanted to ask you about, like they came to you.
Right.
And did they pitch the idea? Yeah. Or you're like, I think it'd be cool if we did this?
No, they pitched it.
They wanted you to say, I'm going to Boston, break an 86-year-old curse. And you're like, perfect, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, it was good. Like, I looked at Sean, I was like, and then at some point, I was like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. What's that check look like?
It was good. Yeah. Healthy. Yeah. And I've been driving them ever since.
Yeah, there you go.
So they still hook you up.
No.
You're just a customer now.
I'm a customer now.
Got
built it. And made in America.
So, before Steve's question.
Yes.
The infamous Thanksgiving with Theo Epstein. Tell me the truth. Did you have your mind made up before you sat down? You didn't.
No.
He had to pitch you.
Nope. I like I said, I had insane leverage that he didn't know about, which was I called Joe Garagiola that day, Thanksgiving Day, and said, "Listen, I don't think this is going to work out." And because I was afraid they wanted the Richie Sexton thing to happen, so they had to trade my contract.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that they were going to be upset that I wasn't going to make it happen. And he's like, "That's fine. Then worst case, we go into the season with you and RJ. I'm good with that."
Yeah.
So I was no pressure from that side, and I knew what I had on the other side. So it was like, you know, if they did a lot of things early on. And let me just tell you, most of the time when you're pitching a player, you're pitching the family. You're pitching the wife, which they did a tremendous job of reaching out to her and to the kids. So, but then they knew. I mean, Theo was – he's the best I've ever been around as a GM. He was totally prepared for me, and he knew what I was going to be worried
about. At the time, he's probably like my age.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's young. Concerned about all the right things.
Yeah.
Video preparation, here's what we can do, and you know, the big beef was, we can't pay you more than we're paying Pedro.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, first of all, what the fuck, why would that have anything to do with anything?
Yeah.
You know, but we got around it, and then, you know, to get, like I said, you know, if we win the World Series, then you're going to give me $2 million, and you're going to increase my salary next, like, okay.
Deal.
Yeah, works out pretty well.
Yeah.
And was Why Not Us before you won it all, or like?
Oh, it was no. That was the
when did that start,
late in
though?
The year. Late in the year, we were in Baltimore, and everybody kept coming. I mean, the Shaughnessys of the world were like, you know, here's the multiple and multitude of reasons why you can't win. And I was like, it's. I mean, seriously, why not this group?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that would stop this group from winning would be this group. Ellie.
Exactly.
Why not us? Right. No, I'm right there with you.
I'm right there with you, Ellie.
And so I, you know, I'm like, why not us? And then I made the t-shirts.
Yeah.
And it took off.
And the best clip
you went to like a printing press and got that for like $10.
Awesome.
It was like a black shirt with like white font.
Yeah. Yep.
That clip with you in the airplane being that's awesome.
That was after. Yeah. I mean,
that was the flight back, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That was after the Yankee series.
Oh, okay.
And so
four more left. I like
we
that.
Knew, but we knew after that series was over, we knew we were going to win the World
Series. Did you answer the question of does 07 still win if 04?
You said no.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
So you don't think like
because of
do you think 18 wins?
I don't know. I don't know how it plays out if 04 doesn't happen. Because when you talk about 04, you can't just mention that you have to. There was the circumstances.
Right.
Down 3-0
yeah.
against the Yang.
Yeah.
I mean, the David's walk off against. Washburn. I mean, all of the things that happened around that made 04-04.
Paul Quantrill?
Yeah, I mean, all of it. Like, think about, you know, David's opposite field home run off Gordon before. I mean, all the little things that happened. And it turned it, like I said, it's a World Series that will forever be its own.
One of the, I always, from the first interview that we did every year on the anniversary of the Brawl, I tweet the clip of you telling the, we don't throw two 260 hitters, bitch.
Yep.
That's my favorite story of all time. Was there anything else that happened like during that Brawl that's just like never really been talked about? Because I feel like there's the A-Rod Veritek thing.
Right.
There's Tanyan Sturts, Nixon, and Gabe Kapler.
Getting bitch slapped by Kapler.
Like, was there
and
anything, like, could you guys in the dugout feel the moment brewing before it happened?
No.
Because A-Rod got – it was like a fucking off-speed pitch.
He didn't get hit on purpose. So there wasn't like this buildup of we're going to throw inside.
Yeah.
He got hit with a fastball in the arm guard.
It wasn't even a fast. I think it was like a fucking like but a flat curveball or like a changeup.
But it was A-Rod trying to ingratiate himself with that. He was trying so hard at the time. And I knew – that's I'm pretty good at predicting – fights.
Yeah.
I've been the third man in just about every single time my bench is cleared.
You're there quick.
Ever.
Yeah, you're in there pretty quick.
Like, same thing when Paul Bird and Eddie Perez, I was the first guy. Like, I can see him happening. So I'm usually, you'll see me running on the field before anything's happening.
Yeah.
I know I knew as soon as he dropped the first F-bomb on Tech, I knew they were going.
Yeah.
And like, it was chaos in there because part of it was baseball scrum and part of it was there's some guys who wanted to beat the fuck out of each other.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think all of us wanted to hit A-Rod.
Yeah.
At naturally. The time.
What was it that annoyed you about him before that? Because I feel like...
The bullshit.
What do you mean?
The A-Rod was, to me, at the time, A-Rod was trying to be part of the gang and one of the guys.
Yeah.
When he was already part of the gang and one of the guys.
Yeah.
Like, Mark Grace, for me. Mark Grace tried so hard to be in the group when he was already in the group.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you don't have to use that much effort, dude. You know, you're here, we like you. And so much of it was, I remember that I saw the his rookie year, he did an interview with Cal Ripken on ESPN. Mm. And I thought to myself, oh my God, that's the most polished young man. And I realized that a lot of it was just...
Scripted?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know... And then he did all the, you know, this at second base.
God.
And then the I got it in Toronto. The bullshit stuff. The stuff that nobody does.
That he doesn't have to do.
Right. Yeah. No, this is
the most talented guys ever.
The thing that he does when he stands at second base and he points out the outfielders to be like, that's not where they're playing. So this I know. It's like, you don't need to.
One of the five best players in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Acting like he's a fringe big leaguer that has to do everything he can do to stay in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And it was awkward. It was uncomfortable. And I got to tell you, though. I went to him after his last season, before his last season, and apologized to him.
For what?
Well, there was an article that summer in a sports magazine about him coming clean. And part of the article was about him having to sit in front of his daughters and tell them. Mm-hmm. And like as a father, that like just totally struck home with me. And I thought, you know what? I didn't like the guy playing against him, but there was really no reason to be such an asshole to him.
Right.
And so I went to him. It was actually pretty awesome because we were doing the Yankee pregame preseason stuff, and I went to the parking lot. I waited for him to come. He's coming to the parking lot. And I said, hey, Alex, you got a minute? And he's like, yeah, what's up? I said, listen, I just want to apologize. His response was, for which part?
Oh no!
No, and I was like, "Yep, you know that's fair. That's fair." I said, "You know what? I think I've done and said a lot of things that were unnecessary, and I, you know, if I had made your life any harder, I feel sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't. It was not my intention. And I wanted. I told him. I said, I want you to have a final season that allows you to walk away from the game with your head up. I said, because as a father, you're going to deal with that for the rest of your life, and I understand that, and you made choices you wouldn't want to make, but I didn't want it to be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what did he say?
He was cool with it, I think. He's like, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
He mentioned you on the broadcast last night. He was saying just guys that had no big games and had a pitch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to tell you, he and I would be the perfect two analysts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could point out the fact that he used to peek at the catcher and cheat all the time, and he would deny it. And
yeah, that'd be good.
Is that throw it a guy worthy if they got caught peeking?
It depends. He used to always wear sunglasses in day games, and he would wear sunglasses in dusk games because he would wear the Oakleys with the wide lens. And when he would look down, he would be able to look back at the catcher without anybody seeing him. And Tech caught him. And like,
was that pre-brawl?
I don't remember when it was,
but
he
caught
it. But it was. I went back and looked at all my bats, and he had done it. He had been doing it my whole career.
Really?
Yeah.
So I mean, you were the bigger man, and you buried the hatchet with A-Rod. Do you think A-Rod, Veritek ever will?
I don't know.
Because I mean, like you weren't in a physical confrontation with him.
I don't think that stops. I mean, teammates fight. And bury the hatchet, you know?
I just don't think that there's a whole lot of respect.
No,
I can't speak for Veritek,
right, no.
Obviously. But
that
I
was
think,
awkward last year on the podium. They were kind of near each other.
When you think about how Tech played the game and what Tech was about,
mm-hmm.
as a player, when Alex played, he was the antithesis of everything Jason believed.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't like the idiots thing.
Veritech.
No, that wasn't fun. I mean, we're not idiots. Yeah. And I didn't, no one really did.
Yeah.
But the media had fun with it, which is, but like, dude, that's disrespectful. Like, we play the game hard.
Yeah.
Play the game right. We're not idiots. Johnny is, but we're not.
Right.
MLR. We do have an idiot.
MLR, yeah.
Yeah. How many of the guys from the 04 team do you still keep in touch with now?
Mirabelli and I are probably the closest. I still talk to them or text doing, like, with most of them. Huh?
Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, when we got together opening day for, like, we couldn't wait to see each other, and it was like we had been together the day before.
Yeah.
Which is what most of baseball teams.
You guys share the same political views? Just kidding, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, most athletes are. Baseball players are.
If you look at that.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. Damn. We're almost out of time here. No. What else is going on in your life? What have you been up to? How are you feeling?
I feel great. Yeah. I literally am starting to totally embrace this retirement thing.
Yeah.
Like.
Now?
My Monday is exactly like my Saturday.
Yeah.
If I choose it to be. It's pretty badass.
What do you do with your free time?
So I'm gonna go a little political because that's where I'm at. I'm work with the Young Americans Foundation.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to go out to college campuses around the country and speak. I'm going in October. I'm going to a college in Nebraska to speak about leadership and faith and conservative values and whatever, which I love to do.
Yeah.
The game has, I don't want to say blackballed me, but the game has no interest in having me back. And I'm not really sure why. Because
In what sense? What opportunities sense. Besides
like I've reached ESPN, out and offered like my denied. Services to go, because I like coach. I like teaching young kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, listen, I'll if you have a project kid in the minor leagues that, a Daniel Bard, I'll go down for a couple weeks and fix them or, whatever. Or if you want me to come in and talk to your young pitchers in spring training about what they're about to, or if you want me to, whatever. And no one's ever really reached back out.
Which organizations?
A couple. Red Sox, Cubs, a couple other ones. But
so you were trying to go through Theo then?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And
they've just like assembled basically all the 04 guys. Like, right, you guys was over there. Manny was over there.
The other thing was I tried to reach out in back channels to the Mets. Like, I would love to be the Mets pitching coach.
Yeah.
Because that's a staff of just monster arms.
Yeah.
And I believe what Johnny Padres told me, which is, give me an arm and I'll make you an ace.
Yeah.
I can't make an ace out of a guy that throws 86.
That's true.
And I would love – and that's such a train wreck now.
So you'd like to actually be back
– I would like to. It's not – I don't have a burning desire to get back on the field.
Like, this isn't like a – let me swing by for a spring training week.
No. I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do any of that stuff because I like talking about pitching.
Yeah. But if a team calls you up right now and says, hey, we want you to interview to potentially be a pitching coach –
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I would love to – I would like just to interview. I asked – because when Caps – signed, I reached out to Cap and said, listen, I don't want to, I don't want the job. I just want to go through the process one time.
Yeah.
Because I think I would get a pitching coach job I interviewed for. I don't think there's any question about that.
All the travel though, you'd want to go back and all that?
I don't know. It would, that would be the other thing is I don't know that someone could afford to pay me because I wouldn't go back for $104,000 a year.
Right.
I'm not going to go.
Go on the road. Well,
not only that, but the coaches, I would get to the park at noon or 1 for a 7 o'clock game when I wasn't pitching.
Yeah.
As a pitching coach, I need to be at the park at 9 or 10 a.m. because I have 12 pitchers I have to get ready.
Yeah.
Every day. And they're 12 uniquely different people.
Yep.
So I need to throw a bullpen with this guy. This guy's struggling mentally, so I probably need to sit him down and say, hey, everything's going to be all right. Is this guy going to be available for all of that stuff every single day for 12 guys?
Do you think that there are pitching coaches in the league like that right now that have that type of work regimen?
I don't know.
You would do it.
But I wouldn't be coming back to be a pitching coach. I would be coming back to be the best pitching coach in baseball.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah. Which team would you prefer to work with besides the Mets?
Would the
Mets be your number one?
I would like to work with Alex. I like Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I like Alex a lot. But Dana, I love Dana too. So I would love to work with Tito. I would love to work with Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
I would want to work with Gabe. I think I could bring a lot to the manager about pitching.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of managers that aren't pitchers don't They don't take time to learn that thing. They kind of let their pitching coach handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the smarter they are about their pitchers, the better they can be.
That'd be really interesting to see you back in the game in that capacity.
See Phil and
that would be
a
fun.
Pitching
coach? Like I said,
that'd
I think
awesome.
I know that. Yeah. I think I could get 12 guys at peak performance.
Yeah,
I believe it.
And
so the Mets, I mean, like fucking
the Mets. I mean,
yeah, the
Stroman.
Mets gotta get you on the phone right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But like, I could walk in there, and there's nothing to do with Jacob DeGrom except let him throw his bullpen and do his shit.
Yep.
Noah Syndergaard, I could turn into a 30 fucking game winner. I just think he has. I don't think his approach to the game is right for his stuff. I think, and also, it's a very different generation from a coaching mentality about pitchers. These fucking guys are tipping their cap after 5 1/3.
Yeah.
Like, there needs to be a mindset. Go back to the mindset, what I was taught was the most important statistic a starting pitcher has is innings pitched,
yep.
Period. And it really is, because if I have 245 innings, then I've done all the other things you wanted me to do.
Right, you're not trotting
no.
a guy out there for seven
nope.
or eight
and
innings.
I don't want you to think about going, I want you to get the lineup out four times. And if you only have to get him out 2.5, that's great.
They won't even let most of these guys face a lineup for a third time.
That's like
scared of it.
I get that. Because the metrics say, but see, you there, sabermetrics for the sabermetricians are one size fits all.
Yeah,
which they're not. Some guy might Corey Kluber might be way better the third time around than the first time around. Mm. I was a guy who mine kind of fluctuated with my fastball velocity as to how good I was first. But I think that I because I totally buy into the sabermetrics and they're the human element. I can put those two together.
So are you still watching the Red Sox on a nightly basis?
No, I don't watch any baseball on a nightly basis.
That's crazy.
I follow them.
Yeah. So then, like, what would you look at a guy like Chris Sale this year? You do like the analytics a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes? So
yeah,
like
yeah.
You're looking at like stuff like XFIP. You know.
Yeah.
So Chris Sale, I think, is third
right.
in the majors.
Right.
But he's still not pitching well. Like, if you just watch
he's more
it with
hittable
your
this
eyes,
year than he has been.
Why do you think that is?
I know why.
Why?
I know why. If you watch video of Chris, he is not throwing from the consistently same arm angle that he has been in the past. Mm-hmm. Having said that, he shouldn't be 6-11 or whatever he is. He's got a 4.6 ERA or something mm-hmm. like that. I watched last night. His arm angle, and I scouted Chris as a draftee. Like, he was one of the guys that when I first started, had a couple organizations ask me to do draft stuff with him.
Cape League guy.
He was one of the first guys I ever evaluated, and I missed in the sense that I thought I've since learned differently. The arm angle is a huge plus from a health perspective, but there's something to be said for pitching with confidence, and I don't think he's pitching with a ton of confidence right now because he's not winning. And that affects it. But his arm slot, whereas for me, for the most part in the past, it's been like right here. Sometimes it's a little bit here, and sometimes it's a little bit here. With his and I think it's been a mixture of his fastball, breaking ball that he's done it with. But I think it's just he's got to go out and punch out 12 and throw that one hitter to get back to I remember struggling.
That's the thing is like he's been doing that
right.
though. Like he'll stink for 3 or 4,
right.
and then he'll have
right.
This dominant start where he goes out and it's like
and it
six
used to be that other way. He would dominate for 3 or 4 or 5
yeah,
and he'd have
one
that.
Stinker,
yeah, he's had a couple starts this year that you have once a year that he's had already had
yeah,
multiple
had
times.
Most of them against the Yankees,
right?
This year.
And it's you look at his right left splits and there's telling numbers there.
Yeah,
I mean you can always find the reasons why and there's usually a little physical thing to it and plus, I think he's tipping.
Oh,
he has been tipping. I know a couple games, two starts that I've seen he's been tipping.
Where is it? Where he tucks his glove?
It's a physical thing.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's also a tempo thing. People don't understand. You can tip with tempo. Mm. Like if you throw a breaking ball, you get the sign and you come set and then you go at a specific time as opposed to you get the sign for fastball, you come set, you look around, you do, you know. Tempo can be not blatantly tipping, but I think some really smart hitters are figuring out fastball, breaking ball, which if you can do that with him, that's everything.
That, right? Yeah, that's
and if
huge.
One guy on the team can figure that out, then the whole team knows.
But some guys are absolute hate it, don't want to know.
Yeah.
Because the first time they're wrong, they're going to
questions the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, who's your dream project? Like, if you could look at any one guy in the league and be
Syndergaard.
Like, that, it
Sandy.
Is.
Oh. Yeah. I could make that guy a 3,000 punch out pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
Have you ever tried to contact him?
No, I don't. I work with a couple young kids in the big leagues who reached out to me in different organizations. I text with them, every other night or whatever. guys that are a couple kids that are in my, literally in my, they're 25 or 26, huge arm on a team or with a team where they're kind of bouncing back between the starting rotation and they have no business being in the bullpen. They're just pure starters. Trying to help them understand how simple it should be mentally that they just can't understand it at that age.
I feel like a name just popped into my head, a guy that would really benefit from working with you, Chris Paddock.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him to know, but like I said, I know I talk a lot about knowing a lot of things, but that's the one thing I feel like I know better than anybody in the world is pitching.
Yeah.
And understanding that there is no one answer for two pitchers.
Are you able to like say you're facing a guy and you're able to sort of dictate the rest of the at bat based on like you throw him a fastball and you can like watch like his feet and like how like the type of swing that he had against that pitch, or maybe it's
now I was never that. That's Pedro. I would pick up on the swing every if the swing was absurdly out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
good or bad, I would pick up, but I never watched the body. I always, excuse me, I knew when I went into a game, I knew the three spots I could throw my fastball that you can't hit.
Mm.
All right, and some guys. I'll give you an example. Alex Rodriguez was so good, he was easy to game plan. You never threw the same pitch back-to-back and the same spot back-to-back.
So you never just like picked a corner and peppered it?
No, you couldn't. So if you think about that analogy, then it becomes, that's why he's so hard, because now you have to have three pitches that you can throw to different spots and then count. Or you're not, when Bonds was hot, he was easy. Hard as I could throw it, inner half of the plate.
Yeah.
Anything else, he would hit for a home run.
Maddux was saying he was the easiest guy to pitch to because he just put four fingers up.
Right. Well, yeah. If you couldn't make him swing and miss, there's like, no reason.
Yeah, just put him on base.
Tony Gwynn, same way. I got to him to a point where.
Did you ever strike him out?
Once.
Ooh, that's wow. Hard.
Kept the ball.
That's what I was going to say. You got to keep the ball.
Two strikeouts in my career, I kept the ball, was him and Cal Ripken.
That's awesome.
You have to. Where is that ball?
is that ball
but,
here?
But he became so easy because I stopped trying to strike him. I realized I wasn't going to make him swing and miss.
Yeah.
Right? So what I did was I took my second baseman and moved him over to the shortstop side of second base, moved my shortstop into the hole. I put my left fielder in, put my center fielder over, and I threw him fastballs away. He would hit a line drive to left, and hopefully it would be at somebody that was standing around there.
Or because, you just try and like throw the splitter and get a generous
ball. I would never give him the ability to hook the ball around.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Right? I moved my defense, so I know where you're going to hit it. I just need to put my guys there.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
That is good.
But I could, you know, people always ask me, what was your best pitch? What do I throw this guy 0-2? And I keep saying to people, you can't ask me that question. How did you get to 0-2? What did you do the first at bat? What have you done in your career? Who's on deck? Who's on base? What's the score? Who's the umpire behind the plate? And what's the preference for his side of the plate? How do you want to set him up for the next two at bats in the game or next three at bats?
Yeah.
What have you done in this count to him beforehand? I mean, there's like 55 questions you have to answer for every pitch.
Who's your favorite umpire?
Ed Rapuano.
Okay.
I think he's a Hall of Fame umpire. Ed Rapuano was all, Teddy Barrett.
Yep.
Jim Joyce. There were a lot of really good guys.
Wolfie.
Fucking hated him.
Really? Why?
Okay. Your brother's a pitcher in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Fucking call a strike.
Yeah.
That dude had, I remember, I'll never forget, in spring training, I was with the Phillies and I was with Randy and I said, your brother's got the plate today. He's like, yeah. I said, I'm like fucking fired up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
His strike zone was fucking that big. Like, I was like, are you shitting me with this?
Yeah.
And I walked out the field. I said, let me tell you something, dude. You're not going to stay in the big leagues with that strike zone.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. He was a little tough guy. Like,
yeah.
It's like, all right. And I had him in a game one time. He was fucking horrible. He was a hitter's umpire. I was like, oh, come on.
How many times did you have him?
I didn't have him very much behind the
plate. Okay, yeah. Because Dallas used to say that he has, like, a repertoire where he, like, if he threw a ball back to, like, the pitcher, like, he would throw, like, a knuckleball. He would throw, like, sliders and shit.
Yeah, I didn't have him enough to care.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't consistent. That's what I didn't want.
Jim Joyce. I feel like that's one guy that
phenomenal guy.
Always comes up.
Well, Joe West is a bad one, or at least.
But the problem is, well, here's the thing. Joe West is a good umpire and just an asshole.
Yeah.
He was a good, consistent. I told you my Joe West story, right?
Yes. That was awesome.
That was when I realized he was a complete douche.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that I was never going to win.
Right.
Like him. Yeah. And
can't fight
but
City
in
Hall.
His defense, outstanding umpire on the bases, consistent behind home plate, just a complete asshole.
Were there any umpires that you like drank with after games while you were active? Is that frowned upon?
It's just not done.
Is it frowned upon?
I don't know. I wouldn't care. I saw umpires out. Eric Gregg used to be out like all the time.
Yeah.
And talk to him and laugh with him and have a beer every now and then. But no, it was never a big deal.
Like, I feel like if I don't know, it's bad optics for the other, not for like a teammate, but for the other team. Like if the Yankees
but
are
it's
in town.
But it's not because it's the big leagues. And you know what? I knew when umpires were gonna give me what they would give me. She's a little slutting out right now. Yeah. That's her little porn pose.
That's unbelievable.
That's great.
Kurt, do you have any final thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah, I still can't believe you got a fucking ring.
Me neither.
No, that's awesome.
Did you miss me?
Not anymore. No. That's I'm ready true. For another 3-year hiatus.
Are you sure? I feel like we shouldn't go.
No,
years
no. I said things. Next year you got the exclusive.
Yeah, I mean we should
Dude,
definitely
that
do
needs
that.
Needs to happen absolutely.
Like if there's, how does that work? Like,
I have no idea.
Every year, do they contact you? They don't.
No. Well, then we'll make that a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't.
It's now a thing, and we got to see the farm.
We do have to see the farm.
Yeah, you can come back for a farm thing in the fall.
Yeah. I feel like that.
We'll do a minor league report from the farm.
Yes. Yeah, we got to do that. Shout out Eddie's Goat Milk. Kurt. All right.
Eddie's Goat Milk.
Uncle Kurt.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you guys. Take care.
All right, big thanks to Uncle Kurt. When do we want to have Willie in here? Right now. All right, we are here with Willie Colon. My friend, Willie.
Friends.
Willie's my pal. I feel like at Barstool Sports, maybe it's not the same for everybody, but most beefs that I've had at this company, I actually like the person that I'm beefing with.
I'm just saying, I'm lying. I was going to say I'm the same way, but that's not true. So.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say I feel the same way about certain situations, but that's not true.
I was going to say, yeah, like the Kirk Minahan thing, yeah, you guys, that's legit beef.
Yeah.
You and I feel like there's a mutual respect for 100%. Each other because we're the only guys here with championship rings. Like, we know what it's like to get out on the field and grind blood, sweat, tears, and we know what it takes to be a champion. So that's a me and you thing that we share together. So when we have a friendly bet here, I see $1,000 on the table.
But
I mean,
you never won a championship. You never any effort.
Yeah, I was in the parade. I got a ring.
But to run, be in a parade, you would have to contribute to winning
the
championship.
Yeah, no, I did.
Okay, so... I mean, just for me, I just want to know how did you physically contribute?
I can't really talk about that on the air.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's
schematics.
You and I know. Yeah. You and I know what it takes to
I know what I mean, there's footage. I don't know if there's any.
Oh, no, there's plenty of footage of me at the parade. Steve saw the whole thing.
But like,
yeah, he did, sadly.
But outside the parade, did you contribute in any way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's awkward.
Yeah, with silence after it.
No, yeah, I did.
Okay.
So you made a bet with me.
Yes. And this bet, can we so the bet happened.
Yep.
The season was already a month.
It was like mid-May, late May. Yeah, was it May?
Yeah.
24th or something.
And I think at the time you guys were 5 up or 6 up.
It was around there, 5 or 6.
Yeah, so you guys weren't sights.
We weren't out of it.
And then we got hot.
Head-to-head games.
We got hot. Yeah. And that's like you're saying, so I don't You get hot, like the Yankees got hot.
Yeah, I mean,
then we went to London and we got really hot.
Mm.
Juice balls. You still gave up 13 runs in one game against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, hot and cold.
Yeah,
hot, cold.
How many teams this year have given up 13 runs and still won a game? Probably
maybe
one. I bet you that was the one game.
That was it. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I made the bet with you, and I was
on
like,
a gentleman's Friday.
It was a gentleman's Friday.
Yep.
You were hammered.
Smashed. Not even close. You caught me when Willie was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Willie was steaming, actually.
2-1 odds.
And I just saw you, and I just, bull ears came out.
Yeah.
The horns came out.
That was pretty much what it was. I said, if the Red Sox are in first place on the morning after the trade deadline, then
that
you owe me $2,000. But if they're not, I'll give you $1,000.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We shook on it.
We did.
You've
well,
been
we
talking
headbutted
about it ever since.
We headbutted like men do.
We did.
Men headbutt. We don't shake hands.
Yeah.
We headbutted. And,
a couple Rams. Here comes the McMahon.
One of my favorites in the office by far. He only checks in after 12. So
hell yeah.
It's a very smart idea.
Same.
Yeah.
That's right. So at no point was there really any. There's no tension here. There was never like, here we come. It was just, what's the closest the Red Sox even got to first place? Like fucking.
It was like 8.
Yeah.
You guys never got to seven?
I don't think so. It got to eight after the third game of that four-gamer last weekend. It got to eight.
If they swept, they would have been seven. Yeah. Then you would have been fucked.
Then you would have been. Because everyone knows seven games is the worst lead to have in a division.
Yeah, but that's...
Two-goal lead in hockey, seven games.
But we're talking reality right now, so it doesn't matter.
I know. They didn't sweep, but if they did, you would have been dead.
Yeah, but here I am.
I know.
It's weird. It sucks.
So now that you've seen what the Astros did during the trade deadline, you know that like neither of us have a chance to win the World Series, right?
Doesn't look good. it doesn't feel good. I watched the... After I left you guys, I went home. And I had it on my phone. I was like, oh, we're going to pop up. And you tweeting and Hubs is tweeting. And I'm just like, I let it go. And before I closed my eyes, I was like, man, we're fucked. Like, it felt bad. Like, I didn't go to bed happy. Like, I just was like, oh, we'll get somebody. I mean, Yankees have the same issue we had last year. We don't have a starting pitcher.
No.
CeCe's on the IL. IL. Fucking
Severino's dead.
Severino's dead. Batanzas is dead.
Yeah.
Fucking who knows what's happening. Tanaka's having an anxiety attack.
Jordan Montgomery.
Big J.
It doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? Judge can't seem to find himself.
He's off against the Red Sox. Yeah, that's not good.
So I don't know.
I feel like Red Sox and Yankees fans, like come October, might have like a little bit of like, hey, you know what?
No.
If neither of us win, who gives a fuck?
Who cares? No.
Yeah. Well,
you guys can't.
You guys
like...
left our building with champagne.
I know.
A champagne trail. That still is.
That's my worst case scenario. We just want to have the most recent celebration at the other person.
So I don't think Yankee fans are content at all.
Yeah, you guys can't be like, well, we came in first this year. Like, no one gives a fuck.
No, nobody gives a shit about that. That's not.
Nobody gives a shit about that.
Shit. Division, whatever.
The best case scenario for the Red Sox this year is to sneak into the wild card and end the Yankee season and then get just mauled by the Astros.
Losing in three.
Best, if everything goes well.
Yeah, that's the best case scenario.
A forfeit in the ALCS.
But let me understand, let me tell you why that hurts me personally. Because so I own a bar, right?
Yeah.
And my guys I own a couple bars with, our business is around Yankee success.
Yeah.
Like real talk. Like so when the Yankees are hot, it's fucking titties out and beer. When they suck, now we get tourists from like China and from like weird countries who don't know about baseball. They just want to hang around.
Yeah.
And you know, like you guys are Boston guys. When the Red Sox are hot, like true Boston fans come out, celebrate.
Spend money.
Thing.
Oh, it's amazing.
Guys are spending money. You fucking happy hours.
It's the time of your year.
Yeah. Then you got fucking guys asking for fucking sour IPAs to have no business doing it in the fucking Bronx.
Yeah.
So it fucks business up. So this, as much as it is about, like, we want the Yankees to, we want them to be at the show. So it's big time for me.
I mean, that's the equivalent to my life. Like when the Red Sox suck, business is bad.
It's bad. Yeah. It is. It is really, really bad because nobody wants to come to the Bronx.
I mean, no
outside
one
of the Yankees.
Nobody wants to go see
the Bronx Zoo. It's for the Yankees.
Well, then, Willie, since you're a pal, I hope the Yankees get to Game 7 of the World Series and then lose by like 40 runs.
I'd rather have them get walked off again like 2001. That'd be great.
That's painful.
However they want to do it.
Yeah.
But just so business can be booming.
Yeah, business is important.
Yeah. I want your business to do well, Willie. I don't want the Yankees to do well, so it's kind of a catch-22.
It's actually kind of crazy there's any sort of like commerce or businesses in Boston outside of bars, considering the last like 15 years has just been, we go from one season to the next. Yeah. That's like our full-time job.
What's your go-to bar? For your Red Sox games.
Baseball Tavern.
Baseball Tavern,
I've been there. I liked it. They treated me nice when I was there.
Nice vibe.
It was cool.
That's a good
bar. That's right across from the park, right?
Yeah.
You've been in the Baseball Tavern, Willie?
Yeah, I've been in there. It was for a UFC fight.
Could you imagine a Fenway Friday with Willie?
That'd be electric.
Does it jump? Is it jumping?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's.
I've never been to Fenway, though.
What?
Didn't you like take a picture flipping it off or something?
I probably did, but
I never did.
I do it to the Ravens Stadium every time I go by it.
Okay.
Yeah. Willie, I would like to.
Yeah, it's not. It's everybody.
That one's like more equal personal.
Yeah. Oh, that one is like Chris Bloods. Yeah. I catch you active. It's getting popping. Yeah. I've seen Ed Reed and all the boys out a couple
you
times.
You and Large.
Yeah.
I'll take you guys to Fenway.
Oh, we would go. Large would go. Yeah, we would go.
Hey. Is that a you will go?
I would go.
Okay. I thought that was like, we'll allowed you go.
Yeah.
I got I have family in Boston, so they're all Red Sox fans. So I hear it. I mean, outside, I get it here and I get it home. So I get it.
Yeah, let's make that a Fenway.
Yeah, I get the pig roast.
You need the whole experience. Like, yeah. I'll take it.
What's the whole experience?
It's good.
So
you get to watch Jared sign like autographs and take pictures.
Well, it's better than that.
I've seen that.
Pretty good.
Via Twitter.
Yeah.
Looks pretty obnoxious. Because you just stand there with that dumb hair and face.
I mean, my hair is dope.
I'm glad you.
It's better than last year.
Way better than last year.
Yeah.
I'll take you to Fenway. You enlarge.
Where do we sit? Because I can't.
The Rocket Box.
What is the Rocket Box?
I mean, it's pretty good. It's a box where
chicken tenders and
no one can get to us. It's okay. Just me, you, and
hundreds
experience.
Of other people.
Right by home.
So we're in elevated. The bleachers.
No.
It is a good. It's right behind the plate.
Okay,
that's not the Rocket Box, but the place he sits is kind of the Rocket Box.
It is 1,000% the Rocket Box. It's literally a box with four seats. It's.
I mean, you know, me and Large are big men, so
yeah. No, like there's yeah.
If you there are certain parts in the stadium, like a couple of kids I went to high school with, are offensive linemen, they have to sit on like both of like the rails.
Yeah,
and you would be in that situation for sure, but not where not in the Rocket Box.
Is it, is it only 30,000 seats?
It's like 35. Yeah.
Why?
No, that's tight. Because it was made 108
because
years
if
ago.
They know the exact amount of seats they can put in there before it sinks into the literal ground below. Yeah. Because they built it on a fucking marsh.
Yeah.
I'm stunned so that hasn't happened
no upgrades.
Yet.
They can't. They literally cannot.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I'm the monster seats were pushing.
You also said, Willie, that you're giving me a chance to win my $1,000 back if I can strike you out.
That is correct.
Why would you do that?
Because I want someone to rock it.
I mean, but you're just going to give me the money back.
What I'm saying, so you're
I have no problems. If you strike me out, I'll give you the money
just
back.
Just want a bat?
No.
Okay.
But you don't have anything else to gain. It's just a pride thing?
100%.
Yeah, it's not like a double or nothing. It's just you're $0.
I was going to say 2K. Is it 2K or no?
No, I'll give him, if he strikes me out, I give him his K back. I got no problems with that.
But you also know that you're going to lose money because you said that you're giving out some of this $1,000.
No, so I'm taking that, and then we'll re-up.
Okay. All right. I like that. It's two separate events.
Yes, two separate events. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Got it.
This is a different $1,000.
It's the same.
Well, he still needs this moment.
Yeah, I need. I'm going to take my money.
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to.
And then when I get
money.
A box, when I knock it out the park, he'll owe me another fucking crack. He'll owe me another stack. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just trying to build my strip club fund, that's all.
But there is some confusion. Is this baseball or wiffle ball?
See, I assume you're a hardball guy.
I'm whatever the fuck
I've never,
you want
I haven't played wiffle ball since I was like 13.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
So what do you, I don't know, Coley, make your pal, which way should I go?
I mean, I wiffle would ball. Love to see it high. Like wiffle ball, especially if he gets to use a regular wiffle ball, like you might as well just hand him $1,000.
You have a better chance with baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would like to actually see Jared throw a baseball.
So
I
go baseball.
Someone out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit horrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
that makes it interesting because it's kind of an unknown with Jared.
I've seen your clips with the wiffle ball against the bus.
But that's a wiffle ball with no holes in it. That's
even
that's
still, though, like it's just different, like the way it travels, like a regular ball.
Yeah, I want to see the rocking on the mound. Okay. Enough with the talking. Let's see what the heat feel like.
All right, it's not gonna feel good.
We'll see.
All right,
if he just turned you around like Bregman?
I would be stunned.
380 dead center.
I would be stunned.
Willie played the wrong sport his whole life.
He actually hits it out of Yankee Stadium. Like, damn.
Yeah, and I hug the plate, so I want to feel a little pinch.
I mean, if I hit you, then that's
you
on
hit
you.
Me. You hit me. That's on me.
Yeah,
that's not a strikeout.
Yeah, that's not a strikeout. I mean, the umpire can call
it's
it a strike.
It's gonna be a bruise.
But we're gonna have an actual umpire.
Yeah,
he can't just like stand there and take strikes all
no,
day.
No, for sure.
No, we'll make the rules. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll make it right. I have no problems with keeping
it'll
right
be
down
above
the
board.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I'll get a major league umpire down there.
Right.
No problem. We'll do
it's
it.
Gonna be Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez
squeezing you. You're like what?
So how are you? How is this going down? How are you giving him the K? Is there like a plan?
That's right here.
Yeah, it's right here.
It's
right
just
here.
Literally just a handoff. Like this is just
what else? How else do you do handoff?
I don't know if
people?
We have any confetti or anything.
No, I hope he doesn't make it rain. Good man, Rocket. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable man, classy man.
Of course.
I knew you would honor your bet.
Absolutely.
The Rocket honored his bet. Willie's clear. He's clear. I got no issues. I even brought him a bottle of red to show him that I'm a
gentleman. That was very classy.
Jared has no
nice
idea
gesture.
How to open that, but
no,
it's a thought that counts.
I got a little fucking corkscrew at my apartment. So you can figure it
doesn't
out.
Doesn't mean you know how to open it. But,
it's a can opener.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff.
Thank right, you, Willie. Man.
Thank you for coming on.
Again. Thank you for being a gentleman. Nice.
Section 10 debut for Willie Colon.
Playoff time if you want me back.
I would love to.
I would love for you guys to come to my bar and do something.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Fine.
Where? How far is it from Yankee Stadium?
So the Bronx Draft House is right on Girard. It's a block up.
Oh.
And then my beer garden is on the other side. That's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's do something
I'm
else.
Down for that.
Like flex.
And you guys bring all your Red Sox fans. We'll keep it clean.
That'd be like Biggie doing a live show in fucking California.
Yeah. He did that.
Yeah, I know he did.
And he definitely did that.
The guy was hostile.
Yeah.
Real hostile.
Real hostile.
Yeah.
So.
All right, thanks to Willie Colon.
Thanks to Uncle Will.
Thanks, Uncle Will, Big Willie.
Yeah, Big Willie style.
Damn, so that's there goes my $1,000.
Yep.
Damn, right out of my pocket. Had to take that out.
We don't have a ton of time. This is like a super mega packed episode now.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this podcast.
Yes.
For a team that's not team worth that it.
Just lost back-to-back games to the Devil Rays. They got nobody at the deadline.
That last night's game, what is it, Tuesday, Wednesday? What's today?
Today's Thursday.
Wednesday night's game, what a dumb game that was.
The game so sucked. Stupid.
Rick Porcello just smashing
TVs. By the way, if you're going to smash the TVs, don't do it after giving up a run in the first.
Yeah.
Do it after getting rocked.
Yeah,
like, Rick Porcello has gotten rocked so many times this year,
yeah,
and he hasn't crushed the TVs. And then he gives up one run, and he's like, burr.
I think that's why he did it. He's like, I can't even get out of the first anymore.
I mean, but still, like,
I can't even
get out. I think he knew
it was
coming.
I'm a little upset. Like, we've been looking at those TVs for a while. It's every Cora shot. I wanted those things to die with like a huge blow up. Like it was like he gives up 8 runs and then bang, the TVs. But one in the first?
Yeah.
Those TVs deserve to die a better death is what I'm saying.
He probably went into the night like this is where Freddie turns it around on the season.
Fred.
And then first inning, the Rays were like, disagree.
Yeah.
And he was like, God, gosh.
From this
darn
point
it.
Forward, we will calculate his ERA pre broken TVs and post, but it's not looking great.
Yeah, I mean, he gave 5 runs after
like
the
broken next
TVs.
2 innings, he gave up 4 runs.
Yeah.
So it's bad.
It's not good.
I think they're both bad.
Yeah, there's definitely, yeah. If you were to calculate pre and post breaking the TVs, both of them have to be over 5.
You know what's going
to
fucking happen?
What's up?
He's going to be like Houston's number 5 next year.
You think so?
And win the
Yes, he's going to win the Well, it's an even year, too.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
I can see that.
Exactly. What's
and on like a team-friendly deal so they can keep everybody.
Like 1 year, $5 million.
The Astros
$5
just got everybody.
1 year, $50.
I think they're putting Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, he has like a 6 ERA this year, but he'll have like one with them.
That's good. Does anyone have any hope for the rest of the year?
Well, we're going to have some Fenway Fridays,
mm-hmm.
maybe another live show.
Yeah.
Going to do that thing at Willie's Bar.
Yeah. Do you think they'll make the playoffs? Do you think they'll make the wild card game?
I am sticking with it. I still think they're making the wild card game. This is the best offense in baseball.
Too.
It's the best offense in baseball.
Like, I feel like the lows are just so low.
Yeah, this.
And the highs were just
the highs,
like.
The highs also don't feel high enough. Like, I should have felt higher on Saturday night.
Yeah. Like, taking the first 3 from the Yankees, like, that
and
was just
crushing
like.
Crushing them.
Thank God. It's basically like you're drowning. And you come up for a quick breath, but then you just go right back.
And then a shark pulls you down.
Yeah, then you just keep going back to drowning.
But it doesn't eat you. It just pulls you down, and then it's like, you're going to drown.
It can speak English?
Ah, shit. Good point. Well, we don't know if they can't.
Have you ever met, like, an animal that could speak English?
No.
Not specifically like a shark.
I kind of wish dogs could.
Parrots? Yeah.
Parrots can speak English. That's true. It's a good point, Coley.
Technically, dogs can, like, understand English.
Yeah, they get the sounds.
Say it back.
What about you, Bryn?
No. I've never met an animal that can speak.
Alright.
I think that we should save DMs for Monday.
That's fine.
Emptying the bench real quick. Huge shout out to Joe and his now fiance.
Yeah!
Who got engaged at Disneyland, Disney World.
Disney.
At Disney.
Disney.
In a Section 10 shirt.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was cool. Some people want Sogo back, but...
It's not there yet.
It's not there yet, but we do have Charles behind us.
I'm wearing a Suns socks.
That's true.
Yes, you do have a Suns socks.
Yeah.
And that was all. Do you guys have anything?
This is a Suns socks show.
That's true.
Ooh.
Folks.
That'll do it.
I like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Me neither.
Wouldn't want to touch you.
I pull up to my town with a price on my head. I pull up to my town, I'm outside. They wanna see me drown, it's on sides what they said. I heard these niggas wanna take my life. I don't apologize, I would die for this shit. I don't apologize, I don't hide. I'm Kubrick with the shine, got the ice on my neck. They wanna throw a bag on a price on my head, got a price on my head. for my side house in the cap with a dime though. All these girls been rammed through on the low real snipe mode. I can't sleep, that's insomnia. So much ice like I'm Tanya. All my boys living debt free. Your squad like Wesley.
All right, Willie yes. Cologne. Yeah. Friend Weather Waves.
Yes.
What?
No, that'd be a lot of... Come on. If she had to answer it twice, that'd be a lot of words.
Yeah.
Now that we have that, we don't have enough time to dance.
Oh, my God.
It's freaky.
Love me. Love me. Get off me. You know that I like it when you nurse me. Especially like sexually. You know that I'm fucking with you heavily. Your energy is heavenly. Don't spend a second tripping on my enemies. Cause they envy me and my energy. You know what I'm focused on. I'm feeling like a star. If you think it, then you are. Focus back on me, cut all negativity. Now I fucking live my dreams. Whatever I imagine, I know that shit can happen. Get my energy on dragon, burn it down and I start laughing. Turn the ashes into magic, yeah, yeah. Taking all the hate, I'm in the sky. Nothing takes me higher than the moon. Ask about this shit, I'll let you know. Yeah, this the type of shit that be your soul. Love me, rob me, get off me. You know that I like it when you nurse me. Especially, like sexually. You know that I'm fucking with you heavily. Your energy is heavenly. Don't spend a second tripping on my enemies. Cause they envy me, my energy. You know what I'm focused on.
Middle finger to the other side, they hate on me. Facts. They know it wouldn't be wise for them to play with me. I be scrapped. Riding through my hood, I got your bae with me.